when you're sharing Jesus, when you're sharing religion, and religion that points to that man, it's often met with skepticism, isn't it? How can this make any difference with what I do or say? How does one respond to that sort of skepticism? Jesus, the one who's found in Scripture, is the most interesting, extraordinary person in the universe. Everything hinges on him.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country, January 14th, 2018. This message is based on John 1, verses 43 to 51.
I'm sure you found that when you've discovered something new that you really like, that you want to share it with other people around you, right? Often people do this with food, movies, TV shows. Come on, you got to try this. No, I don't think I'll enjoy pickled eggs. Thank you. I've often done this when I've found something I like and tried to get my wife to like it. I was at a place where they built a roller coaster. And what was unique about this roller coaster was my first time on a roller coaster, not that long ago, and it was made entirely out of wood. So the structure of this roller coaster was one that would sway just ever so slightly, and it had this rackety sound that made you feel like it was going to fall apart at every turn. At first glance, I wasn't really that excited, but sure enough, everyone else that had tried it had convinced me, you got to try it. And yep, after I tried it, I became one of the you got to try it guys. So I tried to convince my wife, you got to try it. She wasn't so convinced. And then even after she rode on the roller coaster with me, I'm not so convinced I really got her to try it. She hardly opened her eyes the whole time. It's something that we like to do, right? When we find something exciting, we just have to tell somebody. That's what Nathaniel found as Philip came to him. Philip just had to share Jesus with him. And yet, as so often happens, he's met with skepticism. Sounds familiar, right? When you're sharing Jesus, when you're sharing religion, and religion that points to that man, focuses on that one man, Jesus, and his word, it's often met with skepticism, isn't it? How can this make any difference with what I do or say? How does one respond to that sort of skepticism? Well, this morning we'll consider that as we look at how Philip approaches his friend Nathanael in the words of our God. Jesus, you see, is just recruiting some of his disciples. He has so far called Andrew and John, who have spent some time with him, two of his pupils. And then it says Jesus went and found Philip. And then Philip, like someone who had just gotten off a roller coaster he discovered and finds he wants to share it, comes running and he finds immediately, it says, he finds his friend Nathanael. We have found the one that Moses wrote about, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And as Philip shares this with his friend, you can maybe understand why Nathanael is a little bit skeptical. His skepticism shows in his response, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? You see, Jesus' upbringing was not in some high place. His town that he lived in was actually a despised place. Jesus did not attend, nor was he a professor at ASU. He was not someone who had all these accolades and crowds. And remember, at this point, Jesus has done no miraculous signs, and he has no large crowd following him. He only has Peter and Andrew and Philip and John. Why should Nathanael believe him? Why should the skepticism wash away when Philip says, everything hinges on Jesus? He's basically saying, Jesus is the most interesting, most extraordinary, most talented, most amazing person in the universe. Skepticism seems in order when he hears he's from Nazareth. You know, I've not lived in the Payson area that long, but when I asked about a certain outlying area Won't say where. I've actually never been there. I'm sure it's a great place. But when I asked about that place, someone in town said, oh, there. They're different there. I'm guessing that's the kind of attitude people had towards Nazareth. That's the kind of town that Jesus came from. That's the type of man that Nathanael heard about. Very ordinary. Who worked by his hands, who was the father of some man named Joe, who was a carpenter. But when we look at the skepticism that Nathanael has, it's nothing new, is it? It is something that the world still puts forward. After all, doesn't God come to us still in very outwardly ordinary ways? Doesn't he come to us in a very ordinary book, his word? In all appearances, he comes to us through the people that share that word that are very ordinary. Ordinary church buildings, ordinary pastors, ordinary parents. And the word of God comes in, you could say, lowly form. And not only does it come, but like Philip, it comes with an extraordinary claim that Jesus, the one who's found in Scripture, and his word is the most interesting, extraordinary person and book in the universe. Everything hinges on him. You know, Philip's claim when he said the one that Moses wrote about, that the prophets wrote about, he was basically saying Jesus is the hope and the promise for a world full of empty promises and empty hope. He is the most relevant person in this world full of irrelevant, empty promises. Scripture speaks about him. So when people hear that from us, and one looks at Scripture, there's reason for skepticism, perhaps. In fact, when you look at it, Nathanael, as Jesus calls, is a believer. Jesus says, here's a true Israelite. Nathanael was not just an Israelite in name. He was an Israelite who was looking forward to the Messiah, who knew what Moses wrote about, who was looking forward to that one who would save the world. And yet, Nathanael was skeptical. When Jesus came to him through his friend Philip, in the very ordinary word, this is the man. And still Christians today are looking on the word in such light. I heard a report that was a survey that was done, and it described the situation in the Christian church, describing it that Christians today are basically, it was saying, biblically illiterate. That is, they're not familiar with their Bibles. They aren't familiar with who all the people in Scripture like Moses and the prophets are. Because they, why? Don't take time to read the Bible. Why? The survey said they found that the Bible was, for the most part, something that didn't apply to their daily life. Something that was not relevant and would not offer them the solutions they were looking for. In other words, they were skeptical that Scripture, the Bible, had any real answer, any real hope that might help them for their day. Isn't that sad that the book, the Word of God that comes to us in such lowliness would be treated as something uninteresting, not relevant, and unimportant? That's what Nathanael did. That's what happens in the church today. Doesn't it happen still with us as we are tempted to fall into that same trap? I know how it is. I spend my time as a pastor dealing with people that maybe don't see that book on their shelf as the most interesting, most important book in their life. But I myself, too, after a long day of spending time in the Word, sharing the Word, planning to share God's Word, come home and I'm tempted, too, to think, well, do I really need to make time now to open up that book, to hear the Word of our God? Is it going to give me what I need right now? Skepticism comes. Have you always viewed Scripture as such a treasure that it's always relevant to everything going on? Have you at times fallen into that same trap that the Bible, can something good for my life come right there? As if we're treating it like God is offering us pickled eggs and it can't be really something that would satisfy. And sadly, the most interesting, most important, most extraordinary book is sometimes left and in a way not treasured but set aside and despised is not important. When this happens, we begin to fall into that same skepticism that Nathanael had. We begin to fall into that same skepticism that so many in the Christian church have towards the Bible, that it's not the powerful word of God for us, for now, for life. But the word of our God is relevant. The word of our God is extraordinary. How did God respond? Well, think about how he should have responded, right? All right, Nathaniel, you don't like my son Jesus because he comes in a humble way. You reject him because of his father Joe and his simple origins. All right, then Nathaniel, I'm going to take my word away from you. How God ought to respond to those who do not treasure his word but come with skepticism that it is relevant, that it is important. How ought to God to respond? He ought to say, then I'm going to take my word away. And then, how would we be ready when he comes, and not in a humble form, but in an extraordinary and holy way as judge? Well, how did Philip respond? First of all, Philip, I'm sure, might have had his doubts, but Philip listened to Jesus. And it's by hearing the message of Christ that Philip became the one who wanted to share that message. And skepticism disappeared as Philip encountered the lowly man Jesus and heard his word. And how did Philip respond to the skepticism around him? When Nathanael responded by saying, "That man?" Philip responded simply with what he had, the powerful word of God. Come and see. That is, see for yourself. Hear Jesus and his word. Experience the power of the word of God as you see Jesus and listen to his word. You see, we can't badger people to come to faith. We cannot pester people and argue them into the Christian life. But we can say, come and see. Experience the word of our God. When Nathanael came and experienced Jesus, then the skepticism began to disappear. Is Jesus relevant? Nathanael found out he is most relevant. When Jesus sees Nathanael, he knows him. He describes his character, and Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" Jesus goes on to describe his omniscience. As he says, I knew you, Nathanael, even before Philip called you, and I saw you under that fig tree. Jesus is relevant because he knows Nathanael. He knows what Nathanael was thinking and doing and saying, and he is relevant in your life because he knows you. He knows everything that you have thought, including the skeptical thoughts regarding his word and his son. God is relevant, the most relevant, because he is the omniscient, all-powerful God. Jesus and his word is powerful. And Nathanael's confession, his cry then is, "You are the Messiah. You are the one that is spoken of, the King of Israel, the Son of God." And Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, points out to Nathanael, "You're going to see greater things. You believe because I showed you the power of my word and who I am. You're going to see even more extraordinary things." Nathanael and all those who believe would see Jesus of Nazareth, and they would see him treated with further contempt as there it was above his head as he was dying. Jesus of Nazareth, as it hung above him on the cross. They would see him come in such lowliness as the King of Israel, the King who came to save his people. And they would see with believing eyes how this God came in lowliness for his people to rescue them. And they would see without skepticism that he came to give his life. And they would see with their own eyes that he conquered the grave and death. And they would hear him say, "Heaven is opened. I'm telling you, Nathanael, you're going to see the way to heaven open, and I am the way," Jesus said. All skepticism aside, we see in Scripture him living, dying, rising, forgiving, and we see the way to heaven open. How do we respond to the skepticism around us? Come and see, we say. Come and experience the word of our God, who in such lowliness gave his life, and who in such glory opened the way to heaven with his resurrection. Come and see the one who knows all things, and yet who came for sinners like us who doubt him. You see, he came in grace. Despite the doubts and the skepticism of this world, He still came for us, for Nathanael, for you and I. And when Philip says, "We have found the Christ," he kind of gets it backwards. You see, it says earlier, Jesus found Philip. Jesus called him. In the same way, in grace, God has called you and I. Despite our skepticism, someone in your life came and said, "Come and see Jesus." Maybe it's when you were a small child and your parent opened the scriptures up and said, "Come and see Jesus." Maybe it's when a Christian friend or mentor said, "Come and see, experience the love of God in His Word, which is powerful and extraordinary and interesting and relevant." Now, God sends you, like Philip, as that person who says to your son, your child, "Come and see," your grandchild or friend. You are the one who invite them to say, "Come and see." It might seem rather ordinary, but it's extraordinary when you open the scriptures and the word of Christ. This building, this pastor, the people might seem rather ordinary, but we have an extraordinary message. And through that word and through God's people, we see heaven opened and the way is Jesus. And so we say, "Come and see." Oh, and keep your eyes open, because you'll see extraordinary things and heaven opened. Amen.